One of the greatest epidemics we are facing in the West today is the average man is weaker than he has ever been. The average man is weaker, more obese, more sick, and more unhealthy than previous generations could have imagined. Testosterone levels in young men are at an alarming low level. Many men today are addicted to things that are destroying their masculine strength, such as fake and processed foods, endless entertainment, pornography, and sugary drinks. It doesn't help that our society has declared war on men, calling masculinity toxic, seeking to destroy gender roles and expectations, and creating men's fashionable clothes to fit a slender, soft, and effeminate male body.
Proverbs 20:29 says, "The glory of young men is their strength." Now, I'm afraid that this glory has left our people, but I believe that this glory can once again be restored. What does it mean that the glory of young men is their strength? It means that young men are living and embracing the way God created and designed them to be, which is strong. There's no wonder there is a concerted attack on masculine strength, for such an attack is an attack on God's created order. But since it is God's created order, order will be restored. Gains will once again be made for the next Christendom. Well, thanks for tuning in here to our inaugural episode of the Absolute Unit Podcast. I'm Joshua Jenkins here with Brandon Lansdowne. Brandon, how you doing?
Doing fantastic. How about yourself?
Doing good. Well, we wanted to go ahead and start this first episode just by kind of laying out our plans for the podcast going forward so you can know what to expect when you tune into an episode here and what we desire to accomplish. The basic outline and idea of what we want to do is to look at basically a theology of physical strength throughout the Bible, look at examples of it, look at how the Bible talks about strength in men, and then get really, really practical with how men can help get rid of their modern, soft, effeminate bodies and get strong as God created us to be. As the proverb said, the glory of young men is their strength. So basically, I'm going to probably do a lot of that in terms of what does the theology of the Bible say about strength. And Brandon here is going to be more the expert on helping you practically accomplish that. And so I think it's going to be really beneficial. We hope so. Our goal is to help Christian men specifically in this area, and to help you stay motivated and disciplined in accomplishing that. Anything you would add to that?
Yeah, I just think that it's a worthwhile conversation to have. We spend a fair amount of time within the church, certainly, I hope, talking about spiritual disciplines, but we tend to neglect talking about the physical disciplines of what it means to train your body. And as you say, to be strong and how, you know, that can and should be our glory. So we're going to look at things just how to turn the tide, how to move in the other direction. Certain specific disciplines of how to properly train your body, and talking about diet and proper nutrition, clean eating, lifting heavy, those types of things that I hope many of you are ready to hear.
Yeah, and we have a lot of plans for shows and episodes in terms of topics and areas we want to cover. But as you guys listen and have questions, feel free to reach out to either one of us, and maybe it'll be something we can cover and answer for you on an episode. So feel free to do that as we go throughout this podcast. What you said there kind of leads us to the first question we want to ask as we begin laying out what an absolute unit is in terms of how we're using that term. And you were getting at the first point of what is an absolute unit. You know, certainly we're Christians, and so the most fundamental aspect, of course, that is often talked about is the spiritual inner life of the man, that he is, that he loves the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, that he seeks to honor God with all that he is spiritually and the spiritual disciplines. But being an absolute unit is more than just that. It's more than just our inner prayer life and devotional life. It's also being a physical specimen, so to speak. It's being strong physically, because I think one of the things we want to connect is that, you know, if a man is by all accounts, a godly man spiritually, he prays, he loves the Lord, he reads God's word and meditates upon it. And yet, if he's also like morbidly obese or soft or just extraordinarily weak, then there's probably a bit of a disconnect going on there. And so we want to help connect these two aspects of the Christian man, is that it's spiritual and physical, because God created us as total beings, you know, not just spirits, not just bodies, but body and soul. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength. And so we want to help men love God with all their strength, specifically in this podcast. So what is an absolute unit? We've got at that basic idea that's more than just spiritual life, it's physical. What else would you say is an absolute unit?
I think an absolute unit is certainly a man who is capable and competent in really all of his abilities that fit within the responsibilities that he has as a husband, as a father, as a friend. And so, you know, I think it's important to talk about how, you know, all the different ways really that physical strength builds into that. And so it isn't just about being strong for the sake of being strong. It's all the benefits that come from subjecting yourself to that process. And so it isn't just building, you know, physical strength on top of spiritual strength and maturity. It's building, you know, just a higher level of, you know, grit or fortitude, of just, you know, being able to push yourself beyond certain expectations.
You know, I think a lot of that has to do with more of the Christian idea of an individual. It's kind of a pushback against a radical individualism, whereas we understand God created men, he created individuals, but not as individuals unto themselves, but men are created with responsibilities. So whether you're married and have a wife, whether you have children, responsibilities to your parents, to your church community, your civil community in which you live. And so being strong is not just about, in the Christian worldview, you know, creating this body type, you know, for self-gratification and glorification, but it's for our neighbors, for our family that we have responsibility toward.
Yeah, that's right.
Anything else that we want to hit just maybe briefly on what is an absolute unit? I mean, we're going to basically every episode is going to be hitting on different aspects of that, but anything we want to lay out at the moment here?
I don't know that there's anything else specifically. I mean, there's certainly a myriad of things we can talk about, but just, you know, I think, again, not to repeat myself, but just understanding that something for me that has been really valuable in contributing to really essentially what you just said is submitting myself to voluntary hardship, not shying away from difficulty. You know, because the thing is that the reason it's so important for us to be willing to do that is because, you know, the voluntary hardships are the things that we choose. They're the things that we place on ourselves for the sake of growing and getting stronger and, you know, developing that grit. But involuntary hardships are those things that we don't choose that come upon all of us at various stages in life. And, you know, it's much harder specifically to prepare yourself for those things. The one way that I think that we can help prepare ourselves for those involuntary hardships is by choosing voluntary hardships. And that can be just through really a number of different things that we can get into in later episodes. But, you know, certainly, you know, working out hard, lifting heavy, you know, just a number of things, you know, practicing, you know, different breathing exercises and ice baths and going for a long run and just, you know, pushing yourself beyond what you think that you can do. And, you know, not to make it an issue of mind over matter, but, to come to the place where we realize that we're most likely capable of doing much more than we think that we can. And I think that's the thing that, when it's packaged inside a Christian worldview will really help us, you know, become an absolute unit in the fullest sense of just leading our families and our churches and our communities, and, you know, all to the glory of God.
You know, that point of voluntary hardship, taking on hard things, specifically physically, I think one of the reasons that's an important issue to help men with today is because the fact that we live in a time that is a lot different than many of the ages past, where men were just, all the jobs men did were hard physically, you know, by and large. Yeah. And so they were just naturally exposed every day in their work to physical exertion. Whereas today, many jobs people have, good jobs, God glorifying Christian, ethical jobs, are just at a desk. You know, they're indoors in air conditioning. They're not physically taxing, and that's not a bad thing. The fact that we have those jobs, in fact, I think it is, if understood rightly, many of them are a blessing from God that we can provide for our families easier. You know, so we're not attacking that, because, you know, I have a job where I sit at a desk all day, and so that's why we're saying there's a need for taking on voluntary hardship, because it doesn't come as naturally in our everyday lives as it once did for generations of men. And so, because the physical aspect of a man is just part of how we were created. And so if our jobs or our lifestyles taking us out of that, we want to find ways to bring that back in. And it's a good thing to be in a position where we can do it voluntarily for our own benefit, as opposed to like, we have to do this or we die, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's important to note in relation to that, you know, you talking about the culture that we live in today and the way things are, you know, so many of the things that are just commonplace are the things that I think are really enemies of becoming an absolute unit. And so you have things like complacency and laziness and obesity and, you know, certain habits or addictions like pornography, you know, or you know, consuming too much alcohol, just the general comfort of or what we perceive as comfort in life, of just ease, entitlement, selfishness. We've gotten away from, as you said, you know, in generations past, men worked hard manual labor jobs, you know, whether it was in the field or in a factory, or at the mill, they exerted, you know, great amounts of physical strength, but not only physical strength, but just that mental fortitude that comes with, you know, pushing yourself past, you know, in certain cases, exhaustion or, you know, fatigue, or just wanting to mentally stop. And so, yeah, I think you touched on something that was good there in that, you know, we want to push back on these things in our culture today that have become commonplace, that I think are enemies of becoming an absolute unit.
Yeah, I think we've kind of begun to answer the next question we wanted to ask. You know, why is it important to be an absolute unit? You know, we've hit on those things. You know, just practically speaking, you know, I saw a video not too long ago of this guy. It was on his wedding day. You may have seen this too, going around. He's just this real, he was just a real super skinny, but just weak kind of guy physically. And he goes to pick up his bride. She's in the wedding gown. He's in his tux or whatever. And he tries to pick her up and he falls down. And, you know, it's the most embarrassing thing. It's just like, You know, man, he probably has like some kind of IT tech job or something and has not embraced some sort of voluntary hardship, some sort of voluntary physical exertion. And he got into one of those moments in his life where it was kind of just upon him all of a sudden, and he wasn't ready for it, you know, and he embarrassed himself and his wife in an interesting way.
Yeah.
And maybe a little time in the weight room would have prevented that.
You know? Certainly.
So I think the fundamental quality of what that undergirds what it is to be an absolute unit that'll touch every practical thing that we talk about is the idea of self-governance, and specifically in relation to our body, self-discipline. And obviously we've mentioned that's not just spiritual mind disciplines. That's an important part of it. We're not throwing that out. That's necessary. Mm-hmm. But it's also the discipline of disciplining your body. You know, as Paul says, I buffet my body, make it my slave. You know, there's spiritual ways in which he's doing that, and physically, you know. So I think we want to spend a good amount of the rest of the time talking about just this principle, this fundamental quality of self-discipline, specifically in relation to physical self-discipline. Brandon, do you want to hit on a few of those things that maybe would be
For sure.
Practical to that?
Yeah. So, you know, the most practical advice that I think that we can give that pertains to this, you know, as it is to you know, develop and maintain those physical disciplines is, you know, first and foremost is the realization that you need to do this. And again, you know, in large part in society, I mean, you know, so many men have the cards stacked against them because of all of those things that we listed of just complacency and laziness and just general softness. And, you know, so we have to first and foremost come to the place where we realize this is something that we need. And that can be a challenge because just in the conversations that I've had with guys, you know, the discussion itself is difficult because, you know, we start splitting hairs in the conversation of, you know, the difference between, you know, being soft and being gentle. You know, being soft is a bad thing. Being gentle is a good thing. But oftentimes to me, looking at these men that I know, they appear to be the same thing. And so getting a person to the place where they can, they can recognize the need to develop these disciplines and you know, and then to move on to the next step of implementing it and actually getting strong. You know, you have to understand why you need to get strong first before you can take the first step into actually getting strong.
That reminds me of you're talking about the distinction between gentleness and softness. I think of, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, the meek shall inherit the earth. And Gary North has an excellent comment on that verse. You know, a lot of times we think that meekness is this softness, this passivity, you know, sort of attitude. And Gary North says, you know, meekness is not weakness before men or cowardice before men, but it's meekness before God.
Yeah.
And so the meek shall inherit the earth. Jesus is not saying the passive, soft man will inherit the earth. He's saying those who are humble and meek before God will inherit the earth. And inheriting the earth, all throughout the Bible, looks like a disciplined life of faithfulness and duties, being able to defend and provide for your people and your place. So that's an important distinction, I think.
Yeah, and I think, you know, then the next step after that, you know, once you recognize the need for getting strong, and then, you know, certainly we could have conversations about the difference between motivation and discipline. You know, are you motivated to do the thing? Oftentimes it starts with you just have to be motivated to do the thing. And like with anything else in our lives, if we do a thing enough times, then we begin to develop the discipline. And you know, there's a saying that I've seen countless times, and I think it's true. It's a bit cliche. If I can remember it, it's in regards to, you know, to working out, lifting, that, you know, it starts as a motivation and then it moves to a discipline. But then once you start to see results, it becomes an addiction. And I've certainly experienced that. I mean, that's a thing that can happen. And I think we have to be cautious in that. And, you know, I think that leads us to one of the points that we have is that, you know, getting strong, we're not getting strong just for the sake of getting strong. We're not getting strong just so that we can up our PRs and throw up heavier weight and then, you know, stand up and look at ourselves in the mirrors and take some selfies or something. We're doing it to serve a greater purpose. We're doing it to build into these things that we've talked about, to be strong, you know, because as men, certainly as husbands and wives and as both you and I, as pastors, like, you know, we have a responsibility to lead in all of those realms. And, you know, I'm not going to say that those things, that all of those areas of our lives, take only physical strength, but certainly, you know, physical strength isn't a hindrance at all in those areas. And so certainly in my own experience in leading my family, leading my wife, and more specifically, you know, within the context of the church, leading other men, you know, developing strength, again, for that higher goal of leading well, becoming an absolute unit. You know, it's something that translates easily and other men, you know, other men see that in you and they want that same thing, not because they want to be like you, but because, you know, they want to take that same journey for the same reason that you're doing it. And, you know, as well as, like, I know that it's something that my wife appreciates, that she can feel comfortable and confident, when she's with me, when we're out and about and she doesn't have to worry. And again, like, you know, it's not only those things, but it's some of those things. And just in terms of leading well, having that strength, which builds confidence, which there in turn causes you to continue to lead well, lead even better.
Yeah. I think, man, you just made me think of an important point here that, you know, it's not that we are living in a time right now where we're facing, you know, the barbarians are about to invade our village and we've got to fight them off and be battle ready. Maybe that a day like that might be coming. I don't know. But right now, that's not sort of the life that we live. But there is an element of being disciplined in eating clean and eating well, and in living being physically fit, working out, having physical exertion on your body on a regular basis. Those things help you actually be more able to carry out your other responsibilities. It helps with clarity of mind and your attitude and mental clarity to accomplish those things. So there is a physical aspect that does feed into more of those, I guess, administrative leading roles that we have predominantly today.
Yeah. I mean, I can certainly attest to that. I mean, you know, my routine is to get up, you know, generally around about 4:45 in the morning, and, you know, I head to the basement and everyone else is still asleep, and I lift, and then I get upstairs, get a shower, get some coffee on, get in the Word, some Valley of Vision. And, you know, so for me, that really sets my whole day in motion, just in terms of all of the things that I have set before me, whatever it might be, whether it's, you know, whether it's doing work that pertains to the church, or, you know, in, you know, my part-time day job is, you know, renovating and flipping houses. And so, you know, it helps set me up to really tackle the day that I have ahead of me, and to do that to the best of my ability. And then, you know, to extend that further out, as we do in all things, you know, we do that under the glory of God. We do that to, you know, to make much of the God that we serve in the life that we live.
Yeah, and contrast that with, you know, a typical guy today who maybe his typical week is like, he'll spend Monday night watching Monday Night Football, eating an entire pizza, drinking a 6 or 12 pack of beer. Then he wakes up and eats, you know, sugar for breakfast, and he wonders why he feels awful throughout the day. And he's not getting the things done he needs to get done. He's not as productive or leading well, or he's, you know, not able to lead his family or wife well. Well, there are practical steps you can do to fix those problems that just are physical, that are eating things that are good for eating real food that God made, you know, putting your body right physically. And so that's, you know, that's an important aspect of this. And that contrast, I think, is.
Yeah. And that's something that I'm going to look forward to discussing in later episodes, because I don't think I don't want to get too far into it, but we've become so used to the way that we feel as a result of the things that we consume, yeah, that we don't realize how bad we feel. Yeah. And so, you know, for me, practicing a certain type of diet, when I break that and, you know, go back to eating something that isn't a part of my regular diet, man, I feel it. And so, you know, it reminds me, and I'm not saying that that's the worst thing in the world that you can do, that, you know, we can even talk about, you know, cheat days in the future. I think those are, you know, they're good and helpful. But the thing it does for me is it reminds me of, you know, how these things that we put in our body make us feel. And so, again, like, that's kind of the.
And that's the way God created us. He created our bodies, yeah, to respond certain ways to certain things we put,
yeah,
in it.
Absolutely.
We're not just these disembodied spirits. We gave us bodies that there's real biblical science behind these things that God wants us to know in our efforts of learning his creation, taking dominion. And learning how to, I mean, in some sense, optimizing the operations of our body, you know, by taking care of it the right way.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, this kind of leads to the other aspect of discipline that I think is very important, especially when you're talking about working out and being physically fit, is that, you know, a lot of guys, they're unfit, they're at a certain weight, and they come up with goals. You know, I want to drop 40 pounds this year, whatever. And those can be great things, great benchmarks, but we don't want to treat physical discipline and working out as if it's just a means to an end. It's just, mm-hmm, a means to get to this body weight we want or this muscle mass we want. But it needs to be really just a way of life, because if it's a means to an end where there's an end date to it, then I think it's much harder to remain disciplined. But if you're embracing it, like, this is just going to be part of my life, is, yeah, the rest of my life, I'm embracing this, putting my body through these things, then I think that helps men in being able to stay the course in what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I think, again, that is developing the realization that, this isn't a momentary thing or a season in life. This is a way of life. This is a thing that you fully embrace, because you've come to understand that it's for your benefit. It's for your greatest good in terms of living a life of longevity and fruitfulness and joy. That you know, I think often and say this to my wife from time to time when I see, and it isn't to, you know, unkind or insulting to the individuals that I see this way. But when I see, you know, let's just say, I don't want to say just specifically elderly folks, but, you know, 60, 70 plus, and or even younger. I mean, I've seen men who are overweight or who you know, their back is slouched over. They can't stand up straight. They have difficulty getting in and out of a vehicle. And I say to her, you know, I never want to be that way. And it isn't, again, like to throw shade on those people. I don't know their stories. I don't know the things that have led them to this place that they're at now. But for me, like that's my way of understanding, like, this is a way of life for me. This is something that I will always do because I never want to be that way. I want to be strong and sharp, physically, mentally, for as long as I possibly can be because ultimately that's what's going to lead me to doing the greatest amount of good for God on this earth and the life that I have and the time that I have.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and there's an element of that I don't think is wrong because I feel the same way. Everywhere you go in public today, you see young men who are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, who are just, they're obese. They look sick. You can tell there's just all kinds of problems with them physically. And it's like, when I see that, there's a couple of things that go on. One is that same feeling that you feel with the other example of, I don't want to be that. And so that motivates me in my workouts to remain disciplined. But also, I think the Christian way to think about it is, it's good to see that and say, I don't want to be that. Because we should look at an undisciplined life or sin. Gluttony is a sin in the Bible.
Sure.
And we should look at it and say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be an undisciplined sinner in that way. Not that everybody who's doing that is necessarily in sin in the moment. But, and the other aspect is, man, I feel a pain for those guys. Like, yeah, they don't know certainly how much they're making their life suck when it doesn't have to suck in that way. And it makes me hurt for them and want to see them also not be that way. It's not that I don't want to be that way, so I'm going to put this guy down and lift myself up. It's, I don't want to turn into that, and I want you to not be that anymore, you know? And so I think that can be, that's a good kind of masculine jockeying that I think is healthy, done in the right spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And it makes me think of, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's this really simple kind of cartoony meme out there that it shows a guy lifting weights, and underneath, his picture, it says the word suffer. And then on the other side of it, there's this, just extremely obese individual sitting on a couch eating.
Just a gray blob.
Yeah. Just a big gray blob. And underneath that, it says suffer.
Yep.
And so, again, leading us back to the voluntary hardship that leads us into, both a greater, I think, certainly quality and quantity of life. As we are, living this life that God has given us as image bearers of God to do, to carry out, all that He has set before us, choosing, like what you were just touching on, choosing that life, which is, again, like the life of ease and laziness and complacency and junk food and TV, just binge watching Netflix. It's a different kind of suffer. It's a suffering that I don't want for myself and I don't want for them.
Yeah.
And, those are things that I've communicated certainly with younger men, in my circles. I'm delighted when guys see it, when they catch it and they want to take hold of that and carry it out, because, the other thing that is at play is when, like I said before, is like to really, recognizing the need for this change, the need for this discipline, the need for this hardship it's got to be a mental switch for sure. Because if it isn't, then you're going to allow every excuse in the book to keep you away from doing this thing. I don't have the time, or I'm too tired, or, guys have told me I can't wake up early. Like, I used to not be able to wake up early. I hated it. I'm a night owl type of guy. I like to stay up late. Never really slept in excessively in the mornings, but if I had to be at work at 8, I'd get up at 7. And so now, I'm getting up at 4:45, so that I can discipline and train my body, my mind, and my soul early in the morning. And so we can't allow excuses. There are no excuses. That I think, at least in a prolonged sense, there are no excuses that we can hold on to that will prevent us. Like, just, man, I tell people, just start where you are. It doesn't matter where you are. Just start where you are and do something. And then, you know, then you'll start to see improvements. You'll start to feel better. You'll start to put on, you know, another plate on the bar. Or if you can't start there, then, you know, then you can start doing, you know, body weight stuff or just the bar. Like you just, there can't be any excuses that serve as a barrier for you moving into this. And so,
yeah, I mean, if you have that, just, you're continually pounding that into your psyche, no excuses, then that will carry you all throughout, whether at the beginning, all through when you're, you know, lifting all kinds of crazy weights or whatever. It's no excuses. You know, if all you can do is lift the bar, no excuses. You get that bar up. You can do another time. To, like you said, adding on another plate and another plate, and, you know, no excuses. So that can carry you a long, long way if that's really in your blood. You know, I think that's important because as fallen men, we're like excuse factories. You know, that was the first thing Adam did was just make excuses for his sin. You know, it was the woman you gave me. And we just really want to beat that out of ourselves. And obviously that can only be done by the power of God through Christ. And it's not just with spiritual sins, but with our body as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, the other aspect that kind of goes with this no excuses principle to discipline is, I saw this from some guy, so I didn't make it up on my own. I can't remember who I saw it from, but it's the 2-day rule. You know, if you have a day where you miss, if you have a day where you eat bad, okay, get over it. Don't do it the next day. Don't have 2 bad days in a row. That, make that the rule. And the more that you have no 2 days in a row where you're screwing up, then the more that's going to turn into, all right, I had a bad lunch, mm-hmm. not dinner, you know, not today, Satan, you know,
yeah.
You know, so, you know, if, hey, you don't get up early enough to get your workout in before you got to work, no excuses. Find a way to do it that night or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
2-day rule, no excuses. I think it's really helpful, especially getting going.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Especially as you say, getting going, just gaining momentum and furthering you know, the motivation to do this, which then in turn is going to turn into discipline. And so, and that in and of itself, you know, again, just to say again, like you've got to, like, mentally throw that switch that, man, it doesn't matter what comes, I'm going to do this thing, you know, whether it's lose weight or put on muscle or eat clean or whatever it is, you've got to make that mental switch, because otherwise it's way too easy. I mean, I've even seen this in my own life where, you know, you have the thought of like, man, well, I already blew lunch, so like this day's shot.
I might as well
just, you know, have the pizza for dinner. And, you know, if you do, that's not the end of the world. Just refuse to let, like, I would recommend, don't do that. You know, make the tough decision to make the better choice. But then certainly, you know, like you said, don't let the mistakes or the failures pile up. Be determined, you know that ultimately, like, if you stick to this thing, if you work hard, then it's just a given. Like, you're gonna see results. You're gonna feel better. You're going to improve. You know, I've told different people that just in terms of losing weight, like, there's certainly more to this, but really the simple cold hard facts of it is just a matter of like calories in versus calories out. You know, and so if you blew the day on your calories, man, be determined tomorrow, I'm not going to do it. Like, you don't have to overcorrect and go into a significant deficit, but just like, and so again, like it's realizing that you want to be more. And the truth is that with most people, they want to be more. Most men, like that are overweight, unhealthy, unhappy, they don't want to remain that. And, you know, just it comes to a place of just being honest with yourself, realizing that those that trust in you, that rely upon you, they want more for you. Certainly the Lord wants more for you. This is the life that he intended for you to live. And so, yeah, just.
You know, it's a lot like the nature of sin in our lives. You know, the dangerous deceit of sin is that you sin, you fail, you screw it up. The temptation is, well, now you got to cover it up with more sin. And the sin has a way of just weaving a tangled web. You know, if you tell a lie, well, now you've got to either repent of that sin and come clean or keep lying to cover it up. And you've got to, and if you do that, then you got to keep lying and keep lying and keep lying until you're in a web you can't get out of. And we don't want to get to that point as men, as Christian men. We want to, when we sin, repent of it as quickly as we know we've sinned. And same thing with our physical bodies. You know, you have a bad day, you miss a workout, you have a bad dinner. Okay, you've done it, embrace it, admit it, and get them the next time.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
I think the last thing I want to mention here, and I think this might be a good place to wrap it up. We've kind of hit at it, but that is just to tell guys who maybe feel like they can't, like they've tried different things, they've tried to lose weight, they've tried to stay disciplined, and they just failed every time. I think the message that I want to say to end this is that you can do it, that it can be done. Normal guys who feel like nothing special physically and athletically, you can get fit. You can lose that weight. You can get stronger. And so that's what we want to help you do.
Yeah, that's right. I've seen some really incredible transformation stories, you know, on YouTube where just, you know, whether it's just an incredibly just skinny dude with no muscle that didn't have confidence and just made the decision, like, I'm going to do this thing. And, you know, then it shows the time lapse of, you know, him starting and he's struggling in the beginning, but then he's starting to see results and he's embraced it. He's, you know, we've talked about hardship. He's embraced the hardship of these things because he wants to see and feel the benefits of it. And, you know, then by the time you get to the end of the video, like, dude's jacked, he's feeling good, he's confident. And it isn't to say that, you know, we only do that for that reason. But man, I don't think that there's just an inherent you know, negative aspect to to submitting yourself to these things and feeling better and feeling more confident and carrying yourself with a greater sense of confidence. And I've seen it in the opposite direction too, where you have this guy that's, you know, just incredibly overweight and unhealthy and sick and unhappy and just makes a decision like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do the thing. I know that I can do it. I know that it's going to take time, but I'm going to commit to it. And then by the end of the video, you know, this guy is lost just a tremendous amount of weight. And, you know, you see really kind of this, you know, this life come back into, you know, these individuals because, like you said, they realize that I can do this. I'm going to do this. And, you know, I'm going to embrace all the hardships and the difficulties that come along with it. And, you know, something I tell my son I'll pass it back to you is, you know, he started working out a good bit. He's a teenager and, he wants to get strong. He wants to, you know, to put on muscle. And so I've helped him build, some workout, routine. And, I just told him, and this isn't for everybody. This is kind of my mentality going into workouts. We can get into specifics later of how to get the most out of your workouts. by working out smarter rather than harder. But I just, you know, I've told him, like, just we're going to make this as just miserable as it possibly can be. Like, you're going to hate it, but I want you to embrace it. I want you to embrace the, you know, the suck. I want you to embrace the hardship of this thing, because it's going to make you physically stronger, but it's going to develop within you just this, you know, stronger mental fortitude. It's going to develop within you grit. It's going to, you know, and man, that carries over and translates into so many other areas of our lives, of just, like I said, you know, we experience involuntary hardships in our lives. And so the best way to prepare for that is to embrace the suck, is to subject yourself to voluntary hardships. And, you know, learn how to not power through, just, you know, mind over matter, just like the ability to power through, but to not just completely derail in the midst of hardship in life.
Yeah. And it can be done, because as we read at the beginning, Proverbs 20:29, the glory of young men is their strength. That's what God made young men for, to be strong. And one aspect of strength is the obvious aspect that is so often dismissed, mm-hmm. physical, visible strength. And so I think that'll about do it here for this first episode. Appreciate all you guys listening who listen, and look forward to getting into more of the details and helping you guys make gains for the new Christendom. Until then, happy lifting.